Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Tonight, dear people of God, I would like you to open your Bibles to 2 Samuel. We're going to, first of all, open to 2 Samuel chapter 9, because tonight we're going to be speaking about reclaiming your land and reclaiming your destiny and reclaiming your territory. Amen. You know, beloved, throughout the Bible, the text teaches us that there are many different types of prisons. Prisons that are not physical prisons, some that are emotional, some that are spiritual. And the Bible is going to tell us about someone who was a king's son who was in one of the most grievous types of prison. That's the prison of disappointment, the prison of rejection, the prison of isolation, the prison of so many assignments over his life to try to take him out from what God had for him. If before we look at 2 Samuel chapter 9, I want you to please go to 2 Samuel chapter 4 so you will know what we're speaking about. 2 Samuel chapter 4 verse 4 gives us the background on 2 Samuel 9. Let us look at 2 Samuel 4, 4. The Bible says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came. Hallelujah. And his nurse took him when his tidings came, and Saul and Jonathan, and the Bible says, out of Jezreel. And I'm just going to read that for you from this place. And the Bible says, he was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. And his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass when she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth, or Mephibosheth. Let me explain what happened. The war went on in Israel. It was a war that God allowed, because in this war, God was going to take Saul out. After all the years of David praying, David waiting, David forgiving, David never retaliating or fighting back because of Saul speaking against David, Saul seeking his life, Saul seeking to destroy him. After all these years, now the time had come for God's promise. How many of you are ready for God's promises in your life? You're ready for God to fulfill them. You've been through testings. You've been through trials. Well, the time had come. And the only way that that could be done would be that Saul would go down into a battle and lose his life. Because when God delivered Saul into David's hands, David refused to retaliate. David refused to defend himself. David refused to use any kind of retaliation at Saul. And God had delivered him into Saul's hand. Actually, Joab, the head of David's army, said, this is the moment you've been waiting for. The Lord has delivered your enemy into your hand. Just give me the word and I will use the sword and I won't have to strike him twice. But David said, far be it from me that I should stretch my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now we're going to take you on a sidebar for 1 second. This test was given to David 2 times. The first time David failed it. Because why? The first time God delivered Saul into David's hand, he was a little tad, just a tiny, tiny, tiny tad angry. And do you know what? When he took the sword, he went to cut off a piece of Saul's skirt. And even though Saul could not believe David not hurting him, David not retaliating. He still didn't pass the test, okay? Because there was just a little bit of retaliation and he cut off the skirt. But God gave him the test again. Say this with me. If you don't pass the test once, God will give it to you again. It was the test of destiny, okay? It was a destiny test. How many of you want to know when the test you're going through is a destiny test? Put your hand up. Always you're going to know it's a destiny test if your values are being tested. Usually it's a destiny test when someone harms you, when someone speaks evil against you falsely. Usually be very careful when that test happens that you don't retaliate evil with evil and that you don't retaliate trying to use railing with railing, as Paul says in Romans chapter 12. But never retaliate. Always respond with love. Always respond with self-control. Always respond with self-restraint. The second time God delivered Saul into David's hand, this time he didn't cut off a piece of his skirt. This time he just raised the water bottle to Saul's captain and said, "Why did you leave your Lord Saul unprotected?" Okay? And so the soldiers and the men with David turned to David and said, "Why didn't you let me take him?" And David prophesied and said, "The Lord is going to take care of me. Perhaps Saul will go down into a battle and God will avenge me in the battle." And that's exactly what happened. Saul went into the battle. It was a battle against the Philistines. David was not involved in the war because David was still living in exile. Are you hearing this? He went into exile so he could not sin by retaliating against Saul. And so the Bible tells us that the battle went on. This was the battle with the Philistines. And Saul was taken out in this battle. Not only was Saul taken out, but all of Saul's family was taken out except one. And so whenever there's a war and the foreign enemy attacks and strikes, then they're always going to go after the royal family. And so in this case, Jonathan, who was the royal prince who was slain in the battle, had a son. And his name was Mephibosheth. And when the battle took place that day, the nurse was so anxious that she would hide him because she knew that the Philistines would be after the rest of the royal family. So when she took the son, when she took Mephibosheth, she fell, and Mephibosheth, or also speaking of in English, Mephibosheth, that she fell and he was injured in his legs. Now, beloved saints, this royal prince never returned back to the palace. This royal prince never returned back to his inheritance. This royal prince never saw another relative again. This royal prince was separated into a place called Lodabar. Say it with me, Lodabar. Lodabar in English means without word. I'm going to tell you today that these mighty principles of power that I believe tonight are going to change your life on how to leave Lodabar in your own life. Lodabar means without word. So what does that mean in our life? That means when oftentimes tragedy, trauma, heartache, heartbreaking disappointment happens in your life, we have a time in our life where we want to hide, where we want to be into that place where we want to hide, or oftentimes not just want to hide, but oftentimes through traumatizing, immobilizing, emotional types of pain that happen in our lives, we find ourselves in a depression-like isolation. Some of us in this very room tonight are in a depression type isolation. We don't feel like going on anymore. Some of us are in a depression type isolation because the enemy has held you back from all of the trauma, the tragedy. Some of us have been dealing with a disappointment. Some of us have been dealing with broken down dreams. Some of us have been dreaming with things that have happened in our lives with calamities and different types of crisis that we were not prepared for. This came as a shock. And as a five-year-old little boy, he did not know how to process the pain that his father was gone, his grandfather was gone, his legacy is gone, everything is gone. And now he is brought to a place to go into hiding for the rest of his life that is called Lodabar. I want you to understand this is not written so we know it happened. There are some of us here tonight in our own Lodabar. And Lodabar, which means without word, is a place where after we have been through trial after trial and we become so apathetic about our destiny, we become so beaten down that we no longer have the fire to go forward into the things that God has called us to do. And so Mephibosheth, being lame on his feet, could not go forward. Going forward doesn't just mean that you have legs. Going forward means that there's something inside of you that's going to press past the pain or press past your circumstances or press past the obstacles to get to where God wants you to go. But some of us are like Mephibosheth. We've been crippled spiritually. We've been crippled emotionally. We cannot get up to go forward. We're stuck in Lodabar. Lodabar means without word. There are some of us that do not remember the word that was spoken over our life. If we do not have a word, we do not have a destiny-driven life. God wants to speak a word over you. He wants to give you purpose because you see your word represents your purpose. Say this with me. The word represents my purpose. The word represents my calling. The word represents divine direction for my life. Are you hearing this? Those that are in Lodabar have become so apathetic, so stuck, so emotionally traumatized that they cannot go forward anymore. And so now their destiny has begun to erode. They begin to lose purpose. They begin to lose focus. They begin to lose that destiny-driven fuel of faith to go forward into the future. And they stay stuck in Lodabar, and they have settled for living in Lodabar, which is not your destiny. Say this with me. Tonight, I'm coming out of Lodabar. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to know that Mephibosheth was in Lodabar not just a few years. He was 5 years old when he was brought to Lodabar, and he did not come out of Lodabar till he was a grown man. There are some of us that have been stuck in emotional pain. We have been stuck in trauma. We have been stuck in disappointment. We have been stuck in tragedy that has happened in our life, or we have gone through a very traumatic experience and we can't seem to get our life back. Say this with me. Tonight, I'm making a decision. I'm getting my life back. I'm getting my dream back. I'm getting my destiny back. I'm getting my purpose back. And I'm getting my word over my life back. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. Now, beloved saints, you may say, how did Mephibosheth get out of Lodabar? This is a question. This brings us to 2 Samuel chapter 9 very quickly. I want you to look at this. 2 Samuel chapter 9, looking at verse 1. Oh, glory to God. Oh, are you ready for this, beloved? Now, I want you to see what the Bible is going to show us about King David, because the Bible is going to show us something about his character that has made his dynasty so great. The Bible says, David said, is there any is there yet any left from the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? I want to read that again. Do you realize Saul is dead? Saul did nothing but evil against David. David now is king over Israel. Have you ever heard of a king that comes out of his palace that says, is there anyone among my enemies that I can show kindness to? Hello, let me go over here. I'm going to say it again. Have you ever heard of a king that comes out of his palace to say to his servants, is there anyone from my arch enemy he's dead, the arch enemy is gone. But is there anyone in his house that I can show kindness to? Put your hands up and say, if you want favor, then live a life of kindness toward others. I'm speaking this right now. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, because God wants to bring us into such divine favor. All right. And so the Bible tells us, he asked, is there anyone that I can show kindness for the sake of Jonathan? And verse 2 says, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, are you Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any from the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him? Do you realize David is on a mission to show hesed, to show kindness, because kindness is an action word. Kindness in Hebrew does not just mean courtesy. And there are some Christians that just believe that kindness is just being courteous. But it's so much more than that. It's looking out for the need of another person. It's going out of your way. It involves that we have to go out of our comfort zone and go out of the place we are to show love to someone else in action. Are you with me, saints? Do you understand what God is saying? Put your hands up right now and say, I want to come out of the bondage of selfishness, and I want to start living a life of coming out of my own need and look for somebody that I can bless and show the kindness of God to. Amen. Somebody ought to shout the victory. Notice, kindness was so holy and it had elevated to such a miraculous state that first it starts out that I may show kindness to, but then it builds that I may show the kindness of God to. Are you hearing me? And so I want you to see this. The Bible tells us that Ziba says to the king, the Bible says, and the king said, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to? Verse 4. And the king said unto him, let us go back up to verse 3. It says, and Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. Now watch, the text is going to use this word Lodabar twice. The first time it's necessary, the second time it's superfluous. And whenever we see in the Bible superfluity, that means the author intended us to focus on that word. Notice what it says. It says, then King David fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now, beloved saints, I want us to just for a moment understand how Mephibosheth got out of that house. Because the way Mephibosheth left Lodabar is the same way you are going to leave Lodabar. Do you realize that King David calling him out of Lodabar is spiritually synonymous with the Lord calling you out of Lodabar? Are you hearing me? And did you realize that the king calling Mephibosheth out of Lodabar is spiritually synonymous with the king calling you into your calling. Say this with me. The king is calling me out of my past into my prophecy. Are you hearing this tonight? Somebody ought to give God the praise. So this means, when we look at this text, this means that the king, who is King David, is spiritually synonymous with God calling you out of your Lodabar. And the only thing that's going to get you out of your Lodabar is responding to the call of the king to say, here I am, God. Here I am to serve you. Here I am to come forward out of my Lodabar. Because the only thing that can break the bondage of your Lodabar is serving God. I hope you're hearing me tonight. Because when the king calls you, there's a grace to come out of it. When the king calls you, we respond to that call of the king. And if you notice, this is what gave him the strength to come out of Lodabar after being in that place since he was 5 years old. There are some of us emotionally stuck in a place of pain since our childhood. There are some of us emotionally stuck in a place of pain that's been there for over 25 years. There are some of us dealing with the pain of the past, and God wants to break it off. And the only way we're going to get free from the bondage and free from the heartache is responding to the call of the king by saying to the king, here am I. Are you hearing me, beloved? Now, another incredible thing happened to Mephibosheth, and we're going to end it right there. I want you to understand that when Mephibosheth came in the presence of King David, he was in the presence of the anointing. Say this with me. When Mephibosheth came into the presence of King David, he was in the presence of the anointing. Let me explain it so that you know it. David had more anointings than anyone else in the Bible. I want you to see that till the New Testament. Number one, the Bible identifies David as God's anointed. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 23, when the Bible is eulogizing his life, the Bible calls him the anointed of God, the sweet psalmist of Israel. The Bible says in Psalm 89, verse 20, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him. Are you hearing this? Then the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David. Then we see in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse 2, then came the elders of Judah and anointed David king over Judah. Then we see in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 3 to 5, the Bible tells us that the elders of Israel came and they anointed David king over Israel. Say this with me. David was God's anointed. So when Mephibosheth got around that anointing, things were about to change for Mephibosheth. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will come out of your Lodabar and get back everything the enemy has stolen when you come under the anointing. I hope you're hearing this tonight. Notice what happened. Verse 7. In verse 7, the Bible says, and David said unto him, notice what happens. Verse 6, when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come to David, he fell on his face. You know, there could be some people that are so bitter that someone in the family related to Mephibosheth and had nothing to do with Mephibosheth, but you could say, you could be so bitter, oh God help us, that you could actually hold a grudge, transpose the feelings for the person that injured you unto everyone in their family. David could have easily done that, because the Bible is using Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. Why didn't it stop there? But it says the son of Saul. It is emphasizing that he's doing good to a descendant of Saul. Are you hearing this? Most of us would have either held a grudge or said, that's part of the family of those people who persecuted me. That's part of the family of the person who was gossiping about me. That's part of the family of the person who did me wrong. So we've now transposed our bitterness that we have toward one person and spread it on the whole family. Are you hearing this? And the Bible is showing us how wrong that is. The Bible is showing us how wrong it is to falsely accuse somebody who's not even involved in it, but we've already got them all pegged. They're all alike. Are you hearing me tonight? But tonight we're going to break that off, because that's an ungodly character trait. Tonight we're not going to blame everybody because one person did us wrong. Are you hearing me? And we see, beloved, oh, glory to God. We see here that the Bible says that when he came unto David, he fell on his face and he did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered and said, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I shall surely show kindness to you for Jonathan, your father's sake. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father, and you will eat bread at my table continually. Now, what I want you to see is the moment he got around the anointing, everything turned around. Tell your neighbors, say, the minute I start getting under the anointing, the destiny that God has really ordained for me comes back into my life. The person I'm supposed to be, my true identity comes back to me through the anointing. When Mephibosheth got near King David, when he got near the anointing, his identity came back. Are you hearing me? The Bible also tells us that when he came near the anointing, a tremendous miracle happened. Are you hearing me, saints? Say this with me, a tremendous miracle happened. Because everything that he had never possessed, the inheritance that was rightfully his, the inheritance that was the lands of Saul, all the real estate, all of the homes, all of the palace, everything that belonged to King Saul, was now delivered to Mephibosheth in one day. Are you hearing me? Turn to your neighbor and say, there's gonna be a day that God's gonna release everything back that the enemy has stolen out of my life. But say this with me, I must be under the anointing. Do you realize it's the anointing that breaks the yoke? It's the anointing that gives us our true identity. It's the anointing that restores our inheritance. It's the anointing, hallelujah, that God wants to use to raise us back. He got back the land. He was living in a land that was not his. He was living in abject poverty. He was living without purpose. He was living without an identity. He was living in Lodabar. But tonight, God wants to bring his people out of Lodabar. Stand to your feet. Come on, raise your hands and stand to your feet. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. I believe there are many of us who have been in our spiritual Lodabar, and tonight God wants to set us free. I believe tonight, those of us who had no word, but we're going to respond to the call of the King. We're going to get our anointing back. We're going to get our purpose back. We're going to get our calling back. There may be some of us right now in this room that we said, I've held back on God. I've been in a place of depression. I've been in a place where I feel useless. I've been in a place after that last blow that I had. I can't seem to get my life back. But today, God wants to give you the strength to go forward and get yourself, your life back. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, come on, pray. In the mighty name of Jesus, come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. We give you praise. We give you glory. We worship you. We thank you. Those tonight who say, Dr. Correll, I need to be under the anointing. Those here tonight, first of all, who want to say, I've been in Lodabar, a place without the word. You know, it not only means without word over my life, it also means getting out from under the word of God. We get so hurt. We get so bruised. We get so shocked that we start going away from the word. Do you know what the word of God does for us? The Bible tells us that the word of God in Numbers 11, verse 8, it says the manna had the taste of oil. Say this with me. I need the anointing from the word. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on those that heard the word. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Then get yourself under the word. Get yourself, your ears under the word. Get your spirit under the word. Start hearing the word. Start believing the word. Start walking in the word. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in Exodus chapter 16 that the manna had the taste of honey, and it tasted like coriander seed. The word coriander in Hebrew means to cut. Did you realize when you get out from, when you get under the word and you are under the anointing, cut. What does that mean? Coriander seed, to cut. Soul ties get severed. Strongholds get cut. The old way of thinking gets cut. Spirits that were attached to you get cut. I hope you're hearing this. Say this with me. It's going to break off because the manna that I'm eating tonight has coriander seed in it. Come on. It has coriander seed in it. Somebody ought to praise God.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com. where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Correll's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church, and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Correll Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.